You people talk quite often about the problems. What would be some of the ones you would mention?
I guess most of them probably those that Eddie pointed out. A lot of it is a lack of identifying with certain aspects of the university. Like there aren't very many Indian faculty members or administrators, those with whom you can identify with and those with whom you can associate with, except the students themselves. And I guess what affects a lot of Indian students is the fact that statistics show that over 50% of freshman students drop out after the first year. And of those, I don't, you know, like high school, well, I guess it's secondary education, there isn't very much preparation on the part of the students to cope with it, with college life and college curriculum, which causes, I think, the dropout rate. And also reflection upon the educational process, educational system that New Mexico has.
Can you, do you think, point to some specifics?
I can put friends. I guess you...
Well, let me ask you it in a different way. How many, you may not have this knowledge or have this information, but how many Indian students are there at the university?
There's over 100 students right now.
And do you have any idea what percentage of the population of the state of Mexico the Indians constitute? I don't have any idea at all.
I
wouldn't have any idea either, but I'm pretty sure that it's more than, what, 115,000, but I'm sure that it's more than that. Barbara Brown is here.
Seems to do, or does do, is the fact that success for an Indian student comes, like when he forgets tribal ways, you know, that's when white, or in white society terms, or says you're a successful Indian. And it shouldn't be that way. Not the university should ever do that to any ethnic groups. They should forget the cultural, they should forget who they are. And this is what it's done to them.
This is something that I've heard talked about quite often. How exactly, I know that when you go to a university, there are certain requirements that you have to meet. And I'm curious how we could kind of bend that a little bit, if that would be a good word to use, in order that we don't lose the identity of the cultures that come into the university.
It's very difficult for Indian students. Like, when I use the term Indian, you know, like, I think it's been categorized too much. Indian has been categorized too much, you know, to take in all the tribes. But tribes, each tribe is different. You know, like the Navajos are completely different from the Pueblos. Like, I'm an Akkaman Indian. And religion is different among the different tribes. To try and say that, to bring in something Indian, you'd have to bring in different things, you know. You get what I'm trying to talk about?
Yeah, I think so.
And so, specific needs have to be on an individual basis, you know.
Do you think something like this might be able to be achieved by, well, perhaps almost a community council for Indian students going to school at the university? Somebody that they could go to. I don't know if that would help at all, but I'm just trying to throw out a possibility and see what kind of things might come out of it.
I don't know. What I wanted to see was what Barbara and Ed were talking about, is a relevancy within the university, like in curriculum and social activities and the same thing. And one thing, I guess, is trying to rub off the image that everybody has put up of the Indian, if I may use a kind of general term again, you know, the dumb Indian, you know, something like that. No, people are dumb.
Santo Domingo member Paso Polla of Santa Clara Pueblo and Santo Tenorio also of Santo Domingo Pueblo. Tonight we're going to discuss in this program various things with regards to the organization, objectives and benefits of the program, and eventually get intensively a series of discussions specifically on Indian affairs in general, Indian organizations, and tribal governments. At this time, I'd like to call on Dale, who will give us a brief summary of the objectives of this program and what we hope will be the results also of this program.
Thank you, Joe. I'd like to preface my remarks, first of all, by saying that we realize that many of the people are generally aware of the program and some of the basic objectives of the program and some of the things we hope to do with it. However, the program committee felt that for the benefit of those people who are not aware of the program, we'd like to briefly discuss some of the things, goals that we'd like to accomplish. As you might know, the idea of an all-Indian TV program is not entirely new. Various Indian organizations and individuals in the past have tried, and in some cases quite successfully, put on a program both on TV and radio. I think a good example of this was your own radio program several years back. The program itself has a variety of possibilities. To simply say there is a great need for such a program, I think, would be enough. However, I feel that there are other factors involved which should be discussed here. As you are well aware that our Indian people are presently facing some serious problems in the area of Indian legislation, water rights, representation on school boards, and other issues which I feel have tremendous impact on the Indian people today and future generations to come. Therefore, I feel that it is important that we as Indians, as individuals, and members of our respective tribes make a concerted effort to inform our people and get them involved in solving some of these problems. This, I feel, is one of the primary objectives of our program, to inform and educate the people of the many problems and issues, both in the local and national level, that are facing them. This type of communications, we hope, will provide not only for a better informed Indian population, but also for a much better involvement. Another important aspect of our program, I feel, is that of educating the non-Indian community regarding the Indians' problems, aspirations, and goals. We find that even with the many years of the Indian community, non-Indian community living close to the Indian people, a large segment of the non-Indian community lacks any real knowledge or understanding of the Indian culture, their government, and religion as a whole. This misunderstanding and lack of information regarding Indians, I feel, has many times led to adverse Indian legislation and many laws have been passed adversely affecting the Indians. We find that even today, right here in our own state, many non-Indians still feel that the Indian does not pay any taxes. Some people still feel that the Indian people get a monthly check from the federal government. This is to say nothing of the fears that have been expressed by some tourists in passing through our state, of perhaps being massacred or getting scalped while passing through the state. We hope that this type of a program will eventually lead not only towards a better Indian community, more informed, more educated, but eventually to establish a better communication between the Indian community and the non-Indian community as well. The gentleman here will adequately cover, I feel, some of the other areas in which we feel that our program can provide towards a better informed Indian community.
Thank you very much, Darrell. I know that you very nicely covered this particular summary of the objectives and benefits we hope will come about, especially to our Indian and non-Indian audience. There's a fellow, Seth, who
has been quite active more recently with regards to Indian affairs. He is also very much involved in Indian organizations, such as the National Congress of American Indians and others. And I'd like to ask him to see what he can give us with regards to Indian organizations, et cetera.
Okay, thank you. In relation to what Mr. Lovato has stated, I would like to briefly give some examples as to the type of benefits such a program as this would bring to the nation's American Indians, as well as to those who have some concern or interest in them. The American Indians today total a number of more than 650,000. Of this total, more than 400,000 live on reservations in 27 states. The rest are urban or non-reservation Indians living in 20 states across the country. We know that the American Indians are in many ways at a turning point in their history. Acculturation to the non-Indian society has been slow and painful. It has also been generally unsuccessful. Many factors have contributed to the present situations of the Indians, and it is these factors that we hope to discuss on this program. We know that better educational and employment opportunities are certainly priority needs. Along with these, many tribes are concentrating their efforts in the overall social and economic developments on their reservations. Some significant progress has been made along these lines, and promising developments are occurring in many places. For example, later on in the series of our program, we hope to have Governor Robert Lewis of Zuni Pueblo give a presentation on the development of his reservation. This is a development which has come to be considered to be one of the major Indian developments in the country with a $55 million budget. The Red Lake Chippewa tribe of Minnesota has also been very successful with the development of their reservation. Colorado River tribes of Arizona are presently making major developments, which includes water resource development projects along the Colorado River. The Intertribal Council of California and other Indian organizations in California are currently assisting tribes in that state toward major land and related resource development projects. The National Congress of American Indians are involved with technical, financial assistance in industrial community and economic developments for some small reservations throughout the country. These are but a few of the examples of the significant progress being made by some tribes in the nation. At the present time, we are making plans to have some of these people who were involved in the developments of these projects to come on this program to share with us their experiences and knowledge. On the other hand, we must not overlook the fact that while there have been some significant progress made, the dimensions of unsolved problems are still considerable. In relation to these, we will then be discussing such problems as that of the Colville tribe in their encounter with the threat of termination, an issue which is of concern to all Indian tribes. The Alaskan natives in their quest to regain 40 million acres of land and gain a settlement in the amount of $500 million as compensation for that land which was wrongfully taken from them. Our own New Mexico Taos Pueblo's plea for the restoration of Taos Pueblo, Taos Blue Lake for their use and problems faced up to now in the matter. We will also be discussing the problems encountered by 250,000 urban or non-reservation Indians, of whom most are in very poor social and economic circumstances and do not receive any federal services and benefits such as reservation Indians do. Subsequently then, we will be discussing the objectives and progress as well as the problems encountered by such organizations as the American Indians United, whose main concern is for the welfare of these non-reservation Indians, and the National Indian Youth Council, who speak for a great number of young American Indians. We will be discussing issues of mutual concern to all tribes, and such would include water rights, hunting and fishing rights, educational and employment opportunities for American Indians, and so forth. In the final analysis, we hope to have provided the necessary information, opinions, as well as experiences which would aid us as American Indians, as well as the general American public, to better understand the circumstances under which we as American Indians must develop.
Thank you very much, Steph. You know, we're fortunate to have a fellow who's unknown for many years, who's involved in tribal affairs, and of course his former governor, Senator Pueblo. He did have a great deal to do with the constitution of the All-Indian Public Council.